Welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. If you've been to a brew pub or good beer bar any time in the last few years, you've no doubt seen them. They're typically a half-gallon glass jug with a handle. The Growler, this week on Beer Untapped. No, not that kind of growler. Although that may have something to do with the name, more on that in a bit. The Growler we're talking about lets you take home your favorite draft beer.
If you have something special that you like and it's only on draft or it's limited edition or what the deal is, or you just want to have some at home, you can either bring your own growler in, purchase a growler, and we can fill it full of whatever your favorite beverage is, and seal it up, and you can bring it home.
That's Sully Sullivan at Pints and Quarts in Brookings. Turns out the growler is much older than I would have guessed, dating to at least the late 1800s. It was most often a two-quart metal pail, sometimes with a lid.
The growler predates modern packaging machines, not just cans. Cans are relatively new. Of course, you know, glass bottles are predate cans.
That's Seth Cook from Woodlegs Brewing in Brookings. Before cans and decent glass bottles, the easiest and cheapest way to bring beer home, grab a pailful at your nearest pub. Many bars also hired kids to deliver buckets of beer to workplaces for lunch. They called that rushing the growler. The temperance movement of the early 20th century made growlers illegal in many states and municipalities, but with the help of the craft beer movement, they've made a comeback.
South Dakota has very favorable growler laws. Any bar or any retailer with an off-sale license could put in a growler fill station. Breweries and brew pubs are kind of notorious for doing growlers because it's the one way that you can take your product that is, you know, mostly, if not all the time, in draft form and package it down to a small enough size for people to enjoy at the dinner table.
Just where the modern form of the growler first appeared, it's open to some question, but Grand Teton Brewing claims they started it back in 1989, and now they're all over the place.
They have now become collector's items. Many times people will take and collect an item from a growler from a brewery. It becomes a bit of a badge because you can really only buy it at the brewery, so I guess you know you purchased it there.
More on the growler and some other stuff when Beer Untapped returns.
Stand out for a bucket of beer and let's have a party cause all the gang is here.
Welcome back to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller as we talk growlers. So, why is it called a growler? No, I told you, not that kind of growler. No one really sure, but there are a few theories. One says the beer sloshing around in those metal pails with lids made a growling noise.
The actual sound that the vessel made as the beer sloshed around and the gas released. Another theory is that it was the sound of the recipient because it had splashed out of their growler. They made a grumble because their beer had not all of the beer had made it home.
Yet another theory says the name comes from the barkeep and the customer arguing over the proper fill and the price of the bucket of beer. Whatever it was, kind of a fun name, it stuck to this day, and the growler is proving very popular with draft beer fill stations even popping up in grocery stores and gas stations in some states.
I was blown away with the amount of growlers that we were selling. I mean, we go through just the glass one. I think a lot of it is collectors. I mean, people are willing to come in and collect them. But, I mean, we go through hundreds of glassware bottles a month for new sales. And that doesn't include refills. That's just we go through hundreds a month of people just wanting to buy the growler.
And now it's kind of come full circle as some places once again offer metal growlers, except this ain't your grandpa's growler.
Stainless steel vacuum bottle ones, which they're double-walled stainless steel vacuum bottles. They'll keep your beer cold for at least 24 hours.
Now let's hear from Drew Eklund, our Brookings Liquor Store beer guide, and find out about a couple of new brews.
Sierra Nevada Nooner, $8.99 a six-pack. It's a German Pilsner style. This might be my new favorite summer beer. It's excellent. It's light and crisp, but still packs a ton of flavor. Flavors of lemon, spice, and hops. Sierra Nevada continues to take classic beer styles and bumps them up to the next level. The next one I have is Shell's Maifest is back. They're spring seasonal, $7.99 for a six-pack. It's a sweeter Doppelbock style with flavors of citrus, honey, and breadiness. It ends with a hoppy dry finish. It's a little hoppier for the style, I think. Yeah, it's another great warm weather beer.
Let's turn to the Mike Tap Handle Beer of the Week at Pints and Quarts in Brookings. Sully fills us in.
Lagunitas Undercover. It's an American strong ale. It's a big, malty, slightly sweet. I mean, you'd almost think it's a winter warmer, you know, just except for the time of the year that it was issued. But it's just a fantastic beer.
Finally this week, a reminder, American Craft Beer Week coming up May 11th through the 17th. And Seth says Wooden Legs will be marking the event.
Really kind of a special time for us at Wooden Legs Brewing because that represents our anniversary. We opened American Craft Beer Week of 2013, so now we will be on our two-year anniversary. Our official day is the 13th, so we're putting a beer on the 13th, which is the Wednesday. It's called Poganophilia, and it is our big, crazy stout. It's only been brewed once. It's a huge imperial stout, incredibly delicious, super thick, super limited because it's one of the most expensive beers, but it was wonderful to make.
Plus, there'll be special events all week. We'll tell you more about Craft Beer Week next time on Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. Until then, drink local and drink responsibly.